Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky, welcoming you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Wednesday, June the 1st, and I do hope that you're enjoying a good day in the Lord and the blessings of the Lord. Beautiful day here in Madisonville, Kentucky, and we're grateful unto the Lord for the weather that He's given us and the health that He's given us, an opportunity to be able to come to your place of listening over WSOF and WAJJ Radio. This is Wednesday, and I'd love to take this opportunity to invite you to come and be with us in our Wednesday night prayer meeting. Evangelist Brother Bob Walker is going to be with us tonight. He is the man that is known as having the Traveling Bible Museum. He's got a number of old Bibles and replicas and old books and different things there that he displays, and we'll have them lined up across the front of the church here this evening. If you'd like to come and see this display and hear him as he preaches to us tonight. Last year he came and actually did a lecture on those Bibles and how that we came to have the King James Bible that we have today, and it was a real blessing. And we're glad to have him be able to stop in and be with us again tonight. And love to have you come out and be with us. Service time tonight is at 7 o'clock. Always glad to have visitors come. We'd love to make you welcome here as well. Very easily located at 1415 Island Ford Road. As I said, right here in Madisonville, Kentucky. Just right off the Penny Rile Parkway or Interstate I-69 now. And we'd love to have you and make you welcome here in our services. All right, well, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, have some prayer time here on the broadcast, but let me mention some things by way of prayer request that we might be able to pray for. I do have a number of unspoken requests. I've been mentioning some needs that I know about, some young people that are making decisions. Some have made decisions. Others are in the process of making decisions that it looks like could be detrimental to their testimony, detrimental to their life for the Lord Jesus, and I want to pray that God would turn them in a way that's right. You know, youth is a dangerous time in life because youth make decisions that are going to follow them the rest of their life. Decisions that are going to mark them. Decisions that are going to guide them for the rest of their life. And so we pray that God would direct them in a way that would be honorable unto Him and a way that would be helpful unto them as well. So I'd like for you to remember those things in prayer. Then also, Brother and Sister Hall. Sister Hall is going to have some procedure on her eyes tomorrow. We want to pray for her, that the Lord touch and strengthen and help her. She just came through AFib back on Monday night. Yesterday was recovering from that. So I hope and pray she's doing well today. But want to remember her in our prayers too, that the Lord touch and just strengthen and help her and help her through this process. And then other needs that we know about, we're still praying for Brother Gene Mathias, got him on the prayer list, holding him up. Sister Janet Newbell called in, or actually sent in a text message, and then we got a call later to pray for her brother. And so we're praying for him and his health needs and that's going on there in his life, praying that the Lord would intervene and help there and just meet that need. And he's able, and I'm glad that he is. And we've got loved ones here in the church. We've got family members that are lost, want to see saved by the grace of God, and want to see God work in their life. And so I ask you to help us pray concerning that as well. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. Thank you for your blessings, grace, and mercy in our life. You're so good, such a good God you are, and we're so thankful for that. Father, I want to thank you most of all for saving me. Lord, if you had never saved me, I'd still be lost in my sin, headed towards hell, doomed to head to a lake of fire. But I want to thank you that by your grace, you rescued me, put me in the family of God, made me a new creature in Christ Jesus, and I glorify your name. And I thank you for that. Father, I pray now that you'd bless these special requests and needs that we've mentioned. Lord, that you would intervene and that you'd help in these circumstances and situations in people's lives. Lord, I do pray for Mrs. Hall. You'd continue to strengthen her. Help her as she has that procedure on her eyes tomorrow. Be with her and Brother Hall. Meet their needs. Strengthen them. Father, I pray that you'd help Brother Gene Mathias. It's on our prayer list. Lord, you'd work there in his need, a health need. Father, I pray that you'd help Sister Newbill's brother. Lord, I pray that you would work there in his life. Do that is needful. And then our loved ones that are on our list that we want to see saved. Oh, Lord, I pray you'll work in them. Bring them to a place of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for these young people making decisions. Would you guide and direct and help them? Help them, dear God, to be submitted to the will of God, to know that your word is right and your word is best and your way is best. And I was reminded just the other day of what you said in Jeremiah 6:16 when you talked about seek out the old paths. You said, wherein is the good way? And Father, I pray help young people to see that that is the good way, that they turn to thee, and Lord, that they'd follow thee all the days of their life and not wreck and ruin and mar and scar their life. Father, I pray now that you'd help these needs and get the glory. Bless the broadcast. Use it, Lord, I pray. Father, I pray your anointing would be upon it and your work would be done. Your word would go forth. Good seed fall in some good soil to bring forth a good harvest to the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I pray you do the same tonight in our service here at 7 o'clock at the Island Ford Baptist Church. Bless Brother Walker. Use him, Father, and have your way, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I appreciate you praying with us. We're going to head right into a song, and then we'll get in the scriptures. We're looking at 1 Timothy chapter number 3. All right, I trust those songs were a blessing to you. The first one, Brethren, We Have Met to Worship, was our entire family, my wife, myself, and our children all singing there that good song. I thought it worked good for our service coming up. We sure need to meet and worship God, and we need God to show up when we do. And then I felt like I ought to drop in that other one there that came along and was just the children there singing, These Are the Treasures That Money Can't Buy. Amen. And so I appreciate that good song. And I'm glad for the treasures that God has given me that money cannot buy. Amen. Salvation being the primary one. Amen. Amen. Well, as I said, looking in Scripture, 1 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 14 through 16, the Bible says, These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Now, as we've looked at these verses now for a couple of weeks, I looked last week at what we called the Apostles' Revelation, that this great mystery of godliness is without controversy. That is the Apostles' Revelation. Then we looked at the Father's manifestation. God was manifest in the flesh. Amen. I showed you yesterday, the day before, how that our Lord Jesus said that in the volume of the book, it was written of Him. That's a quote from Psalms, but it's also found recorded about the Lord Jesus in Hebrews, chapter number 10, verse 7. The Bible, all the Bible's about Jesus. This great mystery is the mystery of godliness, but it's the mystery of Jesus Christ. God manifest in the flesh is Jesus Christ. I should say Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. So we got to dealing with, first of all, the manifestation. And I dealt with that yesterday. The manifestation of God in the flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And I ended the broadcast yesterday just thinking about how amazing that it is, and no wonder that it is, that Satan attempted to have Herod kill all those babies, hoping to kill that infant, because he knew that that infant or toddler, that little child in that body, was God in a body. Amen. Talked about the devil tempting our Lord to leap down from that pinnacle on the temple of Jerusalem because he knew that human body contained God in the flesh. I talked about how that when Christ walked on the water and he commanded the winds and the waves to cease, how they obeyed. You know why? Because that was not a man, just a man. It was a man. It was a God man. 100% God, 100% man. But he was God in the flesh commanding the winds and the waves. That's the manifestation. Secondly, and I want to deal with this today, we see the mystery. The mystery is that God would be manifest. Now, although Jesus of Nazareth was just as human as anyone else, he was God incarnate. Think with me for just a moment about this mystery, this amazing mystery of the manifestation of God in the flesh. Think with me. While he was only an infant in the womb of the Virgin Mary, he was God in that virgin womb. When Mary and Joseph looked into the face of Jesus as he lay wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, they were looking into the face of God. When the shepherds and the wise men beheld the child Jesus, they were beholding God in the flesh. When the doctors and the teachers heard that little 12-year-old young man, Jesus, teaching in the temple at Jerusalem, they were listening to God expound his word. Hallelujah. Amen. When the woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of his garment and was made perfectly whole, she was touching God. When Jairus' dead daughter heard Jesus calling her from the dead, she heard and responded to the voice of God. When the Roman soldiers crowned his head with thorns and drove the nails into his hands and into his feet, they were piercing the body of God. When those vile soldiers slapped his face and spit in his face, they were abusing the face of God. When Jesus hung upon the cross of Calvary, it was God in the flesh dying for our sins. Amen. Can I say to you, that is a mystery. Oh, we cannot fully understand, or neither can we fully comprehend this amazing fact that God was manifest in the flesh. You see, taking on a body of flesh, God then was allowing himself to suffer the sorrows of mortals. Him being immortal exempted him from the sorrows and the suffering of mortals, so he took upon himself a mortal body. He felt the same hunger that we feel. He felt the same thirst that we feel. He felt the same exhaustion and the same fatigue that we feel. He felt the same disappointment. He felt the same pains. Truly, he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Hebrews chapter 2, verses number 17 and 18 say it this way: Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself had suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. I'm glad our Lord knows what we're going through, and he can help us go through it. He overcame the flesh, and we can as well. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Amen. You see this mystery? God was in the flesh and had the pains and problems of the flesh, and yet he came through it perfect. He came through it without being hurt and hindered. There was no sin. There was no fault. There was no damage done to him. Hallelujah. Amen. So we see the manifestation. We see the mystery. Let me give you the marvel. God, not only God was manifest, but notice that he was manifest in the flesh. In seeking to explain that God took upon himself the human body, I said, to make it simple, let me say that God moved into a fleshly house. I used that term yesterday. Now think with me just a minute about the condescension of this. God took upon himself a human body. He who is so great that time cannot contain him stepped into a body of flesh and became a man. Amen. One marvel is that God did not become a man while he was in the state of perfection or innocency, as in the Garden of Eden. No. He became a man and stepped into the body of a man after that men had fallen into the state, that low state of sin. Now, I want to make this note. Jesus Christ did not become a sinner. No, never. God forbid the thought. I'm simply pointing out that Jesus became a man at a time when mankind was at a low state indeed. Now, using the analogy of comparing God to taking on flesh as to someone moving into a home. Let me give you my personal testimony just a moment. I live in a mobile home in a trailer court. Now, some people might look down upon that in disdain, perhaps saying that they would never move into a trailer court, that they consider those people trailer trash. I've heard that statement. Well, can I tell you that God stepped into a human body? Amen. When he did that, he took upon himself a greater act of humility than it would be for a king to move into a trailer court. Amen. God became flesh. For the great God of heaven to take up abode in any part of the dirty, besmirched planet is a great marvel. But that he came to become a man. What an amazing truth. Here's what I consider to be the ultimate marvel of the whole thing. God became flesh that he could suffer not only with us, but for us. He suffered what mortal man suffers, yet he suffered much more than mortal man could ever suffer. For he who knew no sin became sin for us. He who knew what it was to fellowship with the Godhead suffered the severance of that sweet fellowship, crying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He did that we, who otherwise could never know fellowship with God, might obtain that fellowship for time and eternity. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Amen. Think about the marvel of God becoming what we are, that we might become what he is, the Son of God. This is a great mystery, which the apostle speaks of. For the great God became a lowly man. It was to atone not only for the small sins, but for all sins, both small and large. That where sin abounded, grace might much more abound. Praise God. Amen. This is a marvel that all the redeemed can glory in. That is, that when any part of the Godhead is offended by our sins, the Son of God answers back that it is covered in Calvary's flow. God is satisfied with that payment. Let our conscience condemn us. Let our memories condemn us. Let Satan himself rail against us. It is God that justifies. Romans 8, 1 through 4. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verses 31 through 34. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Thank God for the manifestation of the Father. Thank you for listening.